With Pride Month beginning, it seemed like a good time to take a look back at queer filmmaking in the last few decades to see how much the landscape has changed as society evolved. I'm Kyle Alvarado, and joining me this morning is Stephen Mansfield to discuss two intriguing entries in the queer canon, Netflix's Halston and FX's Pose. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Kyle.
So, I'm really excited for you to be here. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time.
Yeah, super excited too.
So, you and I are about the same age, and one thing that I would like to get your input on is, you know, growing up and seeing queer characters in films and TV shows, how has that evolved and changed over time in your lifetime?
I think as a kid, we saw a lot of representation as being a little bit over the top, kind of exaggerated. And I think now we're seeing a lot more realistic representations of, you know, being gay or, you know, LGBT, which is exciting, I think. It's good to see people just, like, living their truths a little bit more.
What were some of the earlier films that you were attracted to that sort of drew your attention to what that sort of lifestyle is?
One of the ones that really spoke to me as growing up was A Single Man. It's, to me, when I was watching it, it was just this beautiful love story, and seeing just this person just being himself and just living his life and trying to get through his drama was very, I guess, inspiring. Mm-hmm. Growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful film. It's a Tom Ford film.
Yes.
It's his first film, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Stars Colin Firth. I believe he was nominated for an Oscar for that role.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually brings up an interesting sort of trend with a lot of queer films as they were being made, was that they would often cast, you know, straight actors in gay roles. You could look at and go back to the 90s and look at The Birdcage, where you had Robin Williams, a straight man, cast with Nathan Lane, who at the time was, if I remember correctly, who was closeted at the time. And the film sort of served as I can't remember, actually.
Really?
Yeah, but I do remember there was something about his sexuality at the time.
Mm.
And for me, I remember The Birdcage was one of the sort of introductory films, and it was, frankly, it was a better introduction to Mike Nichols than it was into queer filmmaking, because I ended up just watching all of his films later on. But then going back and watching that film now, some parts of it hold up really well, but I wonder if the casting would make sense if it was made in 2021.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have gotten away with it, but it's interesting how some actors do get away with it and some don't. Like Halston, Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard any backlash about him being cast in that role.
Yeah. Well, he had a very interesting interview where they asked him, you know, how does he feel about being a straight actor cast in this gay role where his sexuality plays a part of it, and he was basically saying that it's one aspect of his life. It wasn't the entire thing. So he felt safe in sort of inhabiting that entire role. If it was something where it was sort of purely on his sexuality, he mentioned that he might have felt uncomfortable taking on that role, and it would have been better for maybe a gay actor to take it on.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think it comes down a lot to how they're going to portray that character for me. You know, like, I love, like, you know, A Single Man and Colin Firth. I just think is amazing, but what was his name from Prom?
Andrew Reynolds?
No. The other one. The one that's on the singing show.
James Corden.
James Corden.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
One, I'm like, this is not, you're not doing it justice. You should have gotten a gay character to be this over-the-top gay character.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the change is.
Yeah. One other interesting thing about kind of queer filmmaking, especially when it comes to, like, awards attention, which obviously amplifies a film, is that they tend to be white characters that get the most attention. And there are two films that I think about a lot, one more than the other, which is Pariah. I don't know if you've heard of this one. It came out in 2011. It was written and directed by Dee Reese. And it's basically the story about a Brooklyn teenager, a female played by Adero Adepe, who does a really good job of coming to terms with her sexuality. And it's a very short film. I wish people had seen it more, because it's a very beautiful, quiet film. And I think out of all of the queer films that I've seen, this one has stuck with me the most. I'll just be sitting around doing nothing, and then her final scene will just sort of start ringing in my head. And I do highly recommend that one to people. I believe that one's on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
What other films do you would you recommend for people?
One of my other favorites is called Closet Monster. It's very like coming of age, like young teen, just coming to accepting himself and then also like the trauma that he's experienced in his life. And that one's always also really stuck with me. And then one of my favorites is just like a hilarious movie is Booksmart on Hulu. The movie isn't about, you know, being gay or really anything like that, but there's just that one character. And I just love that her sexuality was never really like too much of a focus. They talked about it, but it was always just something that was accepted and just common.
Normal.
There you go. It was just like normal within like this universe of this movie. And even like her tragedy within the film was something that's like relatable to everybody. Like she just had a bad experience like talking to the person she likes and who hasn't had that experience, you know? So that's why I really like that character and that role in that film is that it's just her. She's just there. They're not like circling around it. It's not like, oh, she needs to come out. It's no, she's already out. Like everyone's accepted it. It's just now she's just experiencing this thing that every teen does.
Yeah. I think one of the nice things about this sort of increased representation and increased diversity in media is that it's not a big deal. And I think of Schitt's Creek a lot in terms of how you have a central gay couple, a central gay romance, but the show doesn't throw the themes at the audience. It just sort of exists in this place. These people are accepting of the couple, and it's just sort of a wonderful, beautiful thing.
There's so much love in that town. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it so much. Yeah. And I also love about that there's no tragedy surrounding this, their sexuality or anything. Like the problem that I have a lot is that all of these movies and all of these TV shows, there's so much tragedy. I'm crying at the end of all of them. And Schitt's Creek, I'm crying happy because they're just, you know, living this beautiful, like, loving life. And, you know, there's nothing bad that happens to them. Like, that happens to every other LGBT character.
Yeah. There's always some sort of element of suffering that is associated with these films. And it's nice to see them sort of pull away from these sort of trends. So moving on, I wanted to pivot to two new, well, one new and one ending series. The first one is Netflix's Halston. It's a miniseries adapted from the book Simply Halston. And over five episodes, it chronicles the famed designer's life, his rise as a global brand of luxury, and his ultimate fall in the debauchery, cocaine-fueled decadence of the 70s and the 80s. There's a lot to love about the show, so what I'll do is I'll get my biggest gripe out of the way. And it's the writing. I think the show is more interested in Halston, the headline, than it is in Halston, the artist. I think there are, there are a lot of sections of the series that tend to focus on him being this sort of creative monster, and it doesn't illustrate why he was such a global brand. Now, having said that, there really is a lot to love about Halston. And first off, it starts with Ewan McGregor. He does characteristically great work here. He often elevates the writing beyond what it needs to be. He finds a lot of these quiet, beautiful moments sandwiched in between all the chaos and the cocaine. And he also modulates his performance when the series sort of veers into camp. He sort of takes it up to that line without it going full ridiculous. In a strange way, you could argue that this character is an extension of his Birds of Prey character, in terms of the performance and the mannerisms and stuff like that. Has a really strong, sprawling supporting cast, including Vera Farmiga, Bill Pullman. But I would argue that Krista Rodriguez's role as Liza Minnelli comes close to stealing the show. There have been a few incarnations of, like, mid-70s Liza, Judy, a couple years ago. There was an actress who did a take on her. But I would argue that she does a very, very good approach to Liza, and she has a very good take on Liza with a Z that's worth checking out alone. This series is part of producer Ryan Murphy's production deal with Netflix. It's believed to be the largest of all time at $300 million, and you can tell that there's a lot of money pumped into the show. The sets, the costumes, the cinematography, it's all quite top-notch. I do recommend this series because I think it's a breezy sort of look at this designer. It makes you want to check out more of who he was as a person. And as a follow-up to the show, I would recommend on Amazon Prime, there is a documentary called Halston, which fills in a lot of the missing gaps that the series may have. As mentioned, this is a show that's produced by Ryan Murphy, and this is one of the As mentioned, this was a show produced by Ryan Murphy for Netflix, but he had made FX his home for a very long time and basically built that network. And one of the final shows he created for that network is Pose, which, if I understand correctly, is ending tomorrow night.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us about Pose?
Yeah. So Pose is about a group of Black and Latinx trans and gay characters. They're living in the 80s and early 90s ballroom culture and era. And really, the show is just them living life. They're going through struggles of coming out, homelessness, the dangers of sex work, employment discrimination, prejudice, racism, homophobia, violence, death, but also so much life, so much living. It talks a lot about community, not only within like the ballroom culture, but also finding your chosen family, you know, like the houses that they built that compete within the ballroom. And the show, I mean, I really recommend the show because it's a really good representation of just LGBT culture and really just the community that we can create, whether it's like within this large group or within just this small, like I said, chosen family, these homes. Throughout the show, I mean, besides like the amazing fashion of like the 80s and early 90s and then just the ballroom fashion and everything that they come up with from like, you know, the very cheesy and not well-made outfits to, like, the grand, like, costumes. And then, I mean, even in the first episode, they steal dresses from a museum. And so it's just so much fun. There's just so much life in the show. And as much as I cry through it, because there is so much sadness, they do talk a lot about, I mean, it's the 80s, so they talk about the HIV and the AIDS epidemic. And it's just so devastating to experience it, I guess, because, of course, we didn't, right? Like, we were born in the early 90s, so we don't really know what that was like. So it's, like, really eye-opening, and I think really important for people to just, like, see it. You know, if you didn't understand it or you weren't around then, it's important to see not only, you know, the HIV and the AIDS epidemic, but, like, how they came together for each other and really helped each other. It is not perfect. It does have its flaws. I would agree the writing is not top notch, and a lot of the actors are hard to like in the beginning. But as the show goes on and as they grow, like, you grow to really like them and stuff. Yeah, I really, really love it.
My guest today has been Stephen Mansfield. With the onset of Pride Month, Stephen and I have been reflecting on queer filmmaking in the last few decades, along with reviews of the new Netflix miniseries Halston, which stars Ewan McGregor, and Pose, an FX drama series which centers on 1980s ball culture. It airs its final episode tomorrow night. On Film's producer and engineer Sam Cassiano. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for the fantabulous Charles Horak. And thank you for joining me for On Film.